How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, stand up and bear witness of God's Word. Beautiful, beautiful. You may be seated. Turn to the book of 1 John chapter 1, if you will, please. 1 John chapter 1. When you find your place, say, I have it. It's Labor Day break today. Labor Day weekend. Our early service as well as this service, I see a lot of people that may, well, I don't see a lot of people that are away, but a lot of people are traveling, but I do see a lot of our young people that are back from college and they've been there and they're come back and we love you. We're praying for you guys as well as early service. There were a lot. Today, I want to talk to you about something that I know distinctly the Lord laid on my heart. After preparing this week and getting to a point to where I felt so good about the service that he wanted me to preach and the message he wanted me to preach, at some point Friday, I began to struggle with it being the right thing to preach at the right time. Now, I know it's the right thing to preach, but the right thing to preach at the right time, it's something that weekly I seem to agonize over because I want to speak on behalf of the Lord. I'm not smart enough to know what we all need to hear. And there's some Bible study that I've been doing and things that I was seeing in the Word, and God overwhelmingly redirected me and said, hey, start over. This is the time I want this to be said. And you say, well, you think it's for? Well, it's for me. And it's for you. And it's for the person beside of you. It's for all of us. God's Word's for all of us. So I have no doubt that our message today is directed by Him. And it even became more evident to me. And it's not because you're here. It's because God knows that the person that is on the other end of this, whether it's somebody sitting here or somebody that's going to be listening to this in a podcast, or maybe they're went online and they're just watching the website or on the radio. Don't know where, but God knows where. And I noticed something in 1 John chapter 1. I saw something that I've never seen before. And I'm so familiar with this passage of Scripture. We've read this passage of Scripture a lot of times, but I saw something I'd never seen, something that tied in and began to make me scratch my head. And I want to read this to you because I saw the significance of this. And so it's 1 John chapter 1. And in 1 John 1, this is written by John. And John was near and dear to Jesus Christ as he walked on this earth. And we know that he wrote the book of Revelation as it was revealed to him. And he wrote these three books, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so he begins to speak here about Jesus and about who God is. And we'll start reading in verses 4. He says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." I want to stop right there before we even get into that. Have you ever been, and I'm talking to Christians now, anybody in here who know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's been a time in your life you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, anybody in here know that you're saved, right? Okay, in saying that, keep your hand up a second. In saying that, can you, in all honesty, be able to say today, even though I know I'm saved, there's been a time in my life when I have not really been feeling the joy or representing the joy. If there's been that time in your Christian life where your joy hasn't been full, even though you're saved, raise your hand even higher. So you can see this is a problem. And he's saying, I'm writing this to you. You can put them down. I'm writing this to you so that your joy may be full. You know, God wants our joy full. Because if your joy isn't full, then you can't represent him to somebody else the way he wants to be represented. So we are all on the same page. So I'm not going to take that much time with each verse, but I do want to read it. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." Listen to this. "That God is light." God is what?
Light.
"That what? God is light." Say it with me.
God is light.
Again.
God is light.
Tell the person to your left.
God is light.
to the right. Listen, God is light. What in the world does that mean? God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Is there a little bit of darkness in him? Are there shades of darkness in him? Because God is what? And he has some darkness? No. You guys are on it. There is no darkness in him at all. So what is he talking about? If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him to be a liar and his word is not in us. Now, we read in here the thing that most people see. These three words. When we read this, the Bible tells us, what about God? Say these three words with me. God is light. Right? And we see that. But we use another passage in this passage a lot. We get down to the bottom of this, and there's a passage that we read in verse 9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us. To do what? Cleanse us. In order to be cleansed, you have first had to be what? Dirty, right? You can't clean something clean. So as I began to look at this, I thought, wow, God, this is amazing. I've never put this together, but you spend the first part of this talking about light and darkness and how in you there's no darkness, but you are light. And you spend the second part even in this verse, as you say in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, if we say we're in the light and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, hold on, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. So I begin to realize God's not just talking in this passage about light and darkness. He's talking about dirtiness and cleanness too. But listen, it's the same thing. But I want to show you it's the same thing. I want you to go through this journey of Scripture with me today, and I want you to see that God's got a point to make here. And even as Christians, we miss it. You see, when he begins to talk about light and dark, that's one thing. When he begins to talk about dirty and clean, it's another thing. But when I began to think, light and dark, dirty and clean, he's telling me that I've got to walk in the light in order to be clean. Anybody here want to be clean in the eyes of God? Listen, if you're clean in the eyes of God, this passage tells us we have fellowship with God. That's where your joy is full. That's where you're going to be excited. Listen, a Christian that is not clean in front of God or not trying to be clean or has something that's dirty in them, they're going to be miserable. I'm speaking from experience. So what I began to think is, what does light and dark and clean and dirty have to do with anything? You know what he's trying to tell us here? He's trying to tell us, listen, I am light, and you have to have me, or you're never going to know that you're dirty. You see, light is what reveals, just like that box, that something inside was dirty. And there are plenty of people that are content with not even shining the light because they don't want to know it's dirty, because they don't want to clean it. But you can't clean in the dark. Does anybody know you can't clean in the dark? Now, this is a simple principle from God's Word. Where's this at, Pastor Mike? 1 John chapter 1. You know what he's trying to tell us? I want to summarize it. You can't clean in the dark. Well, let me give you an example. As simple as that little child that doesn't want to clean the room. You know what the easiest way to not let mom and dad know that your room is dirty? Close the door. Put it under the bed. Throw it in the closet. Has anybody ever done that or seen that happen? Why? Because it can't be seen. It's dark. Now, let me give you another example. I was watching an episode of Cops, right? You say you watch episodes of Cops. It's the comedy that I watch. Seeing the people that get pulled over. And listen, they pulled a car over, and as they pulled the car over and the officer came up to the window, you could see inside that they were putting stuff and shoving stuff. And the officer said, hey, they're shoving some stuff underneath the seat, and they're shoving stuff back here, and they're putting stuff all. And the car was dark. The car was what? Somebody tell me. So they're trying to clean up. They're trying to hide everything. And they think, and when they come there, hey, officer, what's the problem? Is anything going on? You know, everything's, because everything at that point is hidden, right? They hid it, but they hid it while they were in the what? Right, so they're just scrambling trying to do that. The officer comes up and says, can you step out of the car? The first thing that the officer does is pull out his gun. No, what does he pull out? He pulls out his flashlight, and as soon as his flashlight peruses the car, he immediately sees what they didn't hide, because you can't keep something hidden when light comes into it, and then you can't hide when you're in the dark. It's hard to hide something. You can't keep it hidden. And so it's the same way with us. And what I want you to understand, that it's always been that way. Always been that way. Today, we come in here, and I praise God that you answered his voice to come to church this morning, because you did that because you were led to. But do you know that every person in this room today has something that nobody else knows about, that is hidden in your mind or in your life? Every single person. Me too. We have something we don't want anybody to know. We would hate for light to be shined on that. It's back there. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to think about it. But do you know that nothing is hidden from God? He's light. Now, I want us to see this develop in Scripture, and the best place that I think we can start is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And you may not turn to all these Scriptures. You can write them down, and I can assure you that I will wait till you get turned there before I read them. It just depends on what kind of flow it is. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. How many people know how the Bible begins? In what? In the beginning. That's when it all started. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many people are familiar with that passage of Scripture? He created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness. What was upon the face of the deep? Somebody tell me. One more time. So what was here first? Somebody tell me. He formed the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness was here first. It was a mass, and darkness was here. Now listen to what happens, because sometimes we don't look into it, even to the surface. It says, And the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, the first time you hear this in Scripture, and God said, say it with me, and God what? This is the first thing God said. Let there be light. Let there be what?
Light.
In all of creation and beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then God said, the first spoken thing that he did was said, let there be what?
Light.
Now, and there was a light. And God saw the light that it was good. Now listen to God's next act. I'm talking about, this is before the birds, this is before the beads, this is before the trees, this is before the seeds, this is before everything. The first act, then God divided the light from the darkness. This is big. You see, I think first of all we need to learn about what darkness and light means in the Bible. You see, light and darkness are two totally different things, completely opposite and separated by God. As the first thing that God spoke to do, his first spoken thing, by God's command, light was created, and then light was separated from darkness. And they have been since the beginning. And what does that mean? That means that light and darkness are as opposite as you can get. Light, by definition, is the absence of darkness. It enables us to see and recognize and comprehend. Without light, we can't see clearly. Without light, there's uncertainty. Without light, we have no idea what is around us. But if the light is introduced into a dark place, then whatever is in the dark is revealed. It is exposed. Light exposes whatever is in the darkness. Darkness has a complementary definition. It's actually the reverse, since they're opposites. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness keeps us from being able to recognize what's around us. Something can be hidden in the darkness and stay hidden, and we would never be able to see it unless light is introduced. You say, why are we having a study on light and darkness? Listen, it is so clear. It is the first thing that God did. It's the first spoken commandment. Why? Because God used it later as the basic principle to determine the difference between what is right and what is wrong, what is of Him and what is against Him. Light and darkness. Being that God's distinguished light and darkness as two totally different and totally opposite things that work against each other, God used light and darkness as examples to us to represent Himself and anything that is against Himself. What is darkness? Anything against God. Now, light in the Scriptures, and I will tell you, and I've taken the opportunity to look this up for you just in the parallels. Light in Scripture represents and refers to at sometimes truth, certainty, revelation, purity, holiness, and righteousness. Light. And when I say righteousness, that's a big, long church word. You know what righteousness means? What is right in the eyes of God. That's what righteousness is. So, light represents what is right. And on the contrary, darkness refers to, in Scripture, ignorance. You're in the dark. Falsehood. Error. False prophets, right? Sin. Evil. And unrighteousness, or to sum it all up, wrong. Light represents right. Dark represents wrong. Why is this message so timely? Because there has never been a time in our society, even in the Christian realm, to where the line between right and wrong is being blurred more than now. The Bible clearly says there is a light and clearly says there is a dark. It clearly says there is a right and clearly says there is a wrong. But the only way to distinguish the wrong from the right, the evil from the good, is to be able to shine the light. The light. Who is the light? Somebody remind me. God is the light, and then Jesus became the light. But if you don't shine Him on there, you say, why are you saying this? The reason you see this preponderance of evil and you see these things going on in the world, things you thought you never would have heard, never would have seen, is because the Word has stopped being the light. The Word of God has stopped being preached, but maybe it hadn't stopped being preached as much as it stopped being listened to. The Bible tells us in the last day that the people will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, meaning come and tell us what we want to hear. Don't tell us anything that we have to change. Don't shine any light into our life, because if you shine light into our life, it will force us to have to change. We don't want to come there, but we will flock by the thousands in groves to places who will come and not expose anything in us. But if there is no light shined into the darkness, get this, there is no cleansing. And if there is no cleansing, there is no repentance. And if there is no repentance, there is no salvation. There is no fellowship with God. Can you begin to see how important the light is? It's amazing. He put it here for us to see all in context, and it took me all these years just to grasp it. You see, the Bible gives us the examples of light and darkness so that we can see the clear separation between God and anything that is against God. And anything that is against God, understand, God considers darkness. God does this so that we can see that if we come to the light and stay in the light, then we'll be safe from the things that are in the dark that work against the light. God clearly says in His Word that He personifies light. And any work of sin against Him is a work of darkness. Do you realize, you do read in 1 John 1 that God is light, but that's not the only place in the Bible. Think about the context. You know, God did this first in the Word, so I think it's pretty neat. He did it first in Genesis, the first several verses to tell us. But do you know that if you read in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 23, do you know what it will tell you? I'll just summarize, but you can put it on your notes. It tells you that when God has us together with Him in heaven, do you know that there will be not even a need for sunshine? Do you know that it tells us that the Shekinah glory of God will light the whole presence, that you won't need any kind of other kind of light? And then it says the Lamb, the Son, will also be the light. There'll be so much light in heaven, it's never dark. So then do you want to hear the opposite? The opposite is, if you don't make sure that you've done what you need to do in accepting God's salvation, and you refuse your eternal life in the light, then the Bible refers to hell so many different times as the place of outer, somebody tell me. Isn't that amazing? God even separates eternity from light to darkness. That's big. He's telling us, if you live your life never coming out of the darkness, you'll spend your eternity living in outer darkness. But if in your life you realize that you want to come to the light and be exposed by the light and live in the light and walk in the light, you can spend your eternity in that same light. That's big. Already have jumped so far off my notes, there's no way I can get back into them. I'm going to just preach. He preached it to me. You see, this is what happens when a person gets saved. Let me take you there. When a person gets saved, there's something that happens that wells up in them because the Word has been preached to them, or maybe somebody's spoken the Word to them. They've spoken the light to them. And that person begins to think, listen, hey, I'm lost. I'm in the dark. I'm separated from God. I'm a sinner. I see the darkness inside of me. Why? Because the light has been there. You know what the Bible says? He says that His Word is a revealing light. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Whenever we realize that we need to be saved, it can't happen until we realize that we're dirty and we're separated from God. You see, you can't get forgiven of your sins until you realize you've got some sins. And you won't realize that as long as the light's not shining under there. I'm as good as anybody is. I'm as good as anybody is. I've tried to do this. I've donated to UNICEF. Understand something. When somebody accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, His light exposes their sins. And then they have a choice to do something. We all have a choice to do something about when this light hits. We can bring what's revealed to us to the light and confess them and truly repent and ask for forgiveness, or we can keep them hidden. Many people choose not to come to the light because they don't want to live a life that's exposed to God and judged by His light. But what they don't realize is that all of our lives are already exposed to God because He can see everything that we do. Now, here's the thing that I don't think people think about. You see, He gives us a choice to confess our guilt by exposing our sinfulness or darkness. How many people, when you ask the Lord to come into your heart, you confess to Him, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm putting it all out there. Listen, I couldn't remember all of my sin. I just confess that, God, inside I'm dirty, right? But do you realize, if I choose to keep that hidden and not get saved, do you realize that sin is still going to be revealed? Because God sees it, whether you do it, whether the neighbor does it, whether anybody else beside of you knows it or not, God knows it. And if you never come to God and ask for that cleansing blood of Jesus to forgive your sins, then your sin is the darkness that follows you. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see what the scripture tells us. You see, God gives us a choice to come to the light, which is Him, by coming to Jesus. You see, we can't get to God. There's not a way that I can step in front of God today and say, "Hey, God, Mike Shoaf here. Listen, I want to give you a little rundown, a little resume here. Brought up in a Christian home, tried to do good, tried to do all of my church service I could. Went on a couple of mission trips and tried to be good to people. Tried to sing in the youth choir and tried to do this and that kind of thing. Right here, tried to be the best person, been a good dad, husband, father, tried to take care of things. Hey, come to you today, God, asking you, Lord, just to be able to impart to me your salvation." You know what part of that he heard? He didn't hear a word before God. You know what I have to come to him and say first? I have to say, "God, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus Christ." See, my life has to have a time to where I come to him through that light. See, Jesus is the light. Jesus is God personified. If God is light, understand, we can't come to God as light until we come through Jesus, who is light. You say, "What are you talking about?" Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, it starts the same way Genesis chapter 1. How did Genesis chapter 1 start? Somebody tell me the first words. In the beginning. You know how John chapter 1 starts? In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light, was the what? Somebody please tell me. The life that was in Jesus was the light of man. And that light shineth in darkness. Where's the darkness at? Somebody point right here. That light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Let me tell you what light can do to darkness. You can make this place as dark as you want to, and you can introduce the smallest amount of light. And no matter how much darkness you pour onto that, you can't cover up that light. There's power in light, right? Listen, and the light was that his life was the light of men. So he's telling us here that Jesus, in the beginning, was set forth to be the light of the world. You mean God knew what he was doing when he spoke? Yes, he did. Because I needed it. I needed to hear. I needed to understand a little bit. And you needed to understand a little bit. Well, he goes on in this and in verses 4 and 5. And he tells us that he was that light. But in verses 7 through 12, if you were to ever read this, you'll realize that he goes on to name Jesus as the light of the world. And the true light. Hey, do you know that there is a campaign of the devil to introduce a false light to everybody? The false light of financial prosperity. How about that? The false light of the pleasures of sin. The false light of the comedy of light, what you can laugh at, what you can do. The false light of going out and having the pleasure. The false light, here's what will make you happy. Here's the light. This will light your world. No, Jesus was introduced as the true light. How many of you have chased a false light before and realized it wasn't light at all? He doesn't stop there. John 8:12. Listen, words of Jesus. Jesus self-proclaimed, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Thank you, Jesus, right? You haven't even got to John 8:12. We'll flip on to John 12:46. You want some more? You want some more? You want some more biblical proof? Listen, don't take my word for it. I'm an ignorant man that is here. I'm just reading what somebody wanted us to know. Listen, John 12:46, Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." How clear can that be? What was Jesus' agenda? I want to light your world so that you don't live where? But I want you to understand there's a constant battle. So you found that, right? You found John 12. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You say, we sure are going through the Bible. Well, yeah. It's going to light your path. You know, the Bible is something that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto my path. I believe somebody said that, didn't they? Amen. The psalmist tells us, hey, this is how we find out things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here's what we find out, and this is big, guys. We're sitting in here today, and we're talking about light. We're talking about Jesus being the light. You understand that darkness is always an enemy of light. It's always working against light. Who do you think represents darkness? Who would you say is the prince of darkness? Yeah. The devil's on a mission to keep you from the light. Jesus is on a mission to shine the light unto you. 2 Corinthians 4 brings it to light for us. You see, it tells us that the devil's on a mission to blind everyone with darkness, but Jesus is on a mission from God to bring light to everybody in this world, to get them out of the darkness of sin. You see, there's a continual battle between God and the devil. Read with me here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, I'm going to start with verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious, lest the what? Lest the what? Tell me again. Did you see that word? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you realize how big that verse is in verse 6? In this continual battle between right and wrong, good and evil, the devil is trying to blur the line and blind the minds. He blinds the minds so we can't see. To be blind is not to have the light to see. And I'm going to tell you how big God is. This verse right here is a bridge verse for us. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, we just learned about that a couple of minutes ago, didn't we? He did it first, right? The first thing he spoke. For the God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hold on, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. You know how you know when it's a God thing? Let me tell you some reinforcement this morning. I had a little shouting time this morning. When I come in here in the morning, and I get preparing, get my mind right on Sunday morning, I come in a little early and look over things and go over the bulletin. You know, I can tell you, God is my witness. I've seen the color of the bulletin, but I never looked at it. Look at the front of your bulletin this morning. I didn't know what was on there. But when I happen to look on the front of the bulletin, do you see that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 is on the front of the bulletin? You know that God changed me from what he wanted me to say then to then, and I had no idea. And then God said, hey, I told you. Right there it is. I wasn't on the same page, but I'm going to tell you how God orchestrates to teach us something. We don't even go by a system. They put these things out in a certain order, and we order them in a box, and we print them. I wish I could tell you, hey, we look ahead, but I don't tell them what I'm going to preach on. There's no scripted sermon. It was the order of the bulletin that came from the company at a certain time, at the time we ordered in the box for this time of season, that was put this year, and God knew it way back when they were organizing and said, what goes this week, right? You think God wants us to know what he wants us to know? Jesus was sent on a mission to deliver us out of the darkness. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, I offer you some more proof. You see, God sent Jesus into this world to be the light, to show us the way out of darkness. We know that. To show us the way to God, we know that. And we read this as we read 2 Corinthians 4. But when you turn to Matthew chapter 4, if you were to read verses 14 through 17, you would realize that Jesus just finished. He just finished being tempted in the wilderness, knowing that he did not give in to the devil's temptation. And then after he was tempted in the wilderness, Jesus began his 3-year evangelistic teaching, preaching ministry, going out greatest preacher that ever preached, right? He began preaching. Listen to what we're told right here. One of the first quotes that he has is a quote from Isaiah when he's describing himself. Matthew chapter 4, it says, "The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up." He quoted Isaiah, knowing, hey, here's the light we've been talking about. But he didn't stop there, and this was beautiful. I want you to read the rest of that, verse 17. He says, "From that time began Jesus to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" You say, well, okay, that's just the end of the verse. No, it's not. Do you know that it didn't say, this was Jesus' Bible study on this, this was Jesus' commentary on this, this was Jesus' series sermon on that? You know what? You could sum every sermon, every lesson that Jesus preached up into one word. From that time, Jesus began to preach what? Tell me the one word. Repent. Repent. Say it with me. Again. If you want to know, you can fit repent into every sermon Jesus ever preached. Now, this is a huge point because Jesus' main message is summarized in this one word. What does to repent mean? To repent is to come to God and make a change of position. To repent is to leave darkness and come to life. To repent is to admit to God that we've sinned, confess it to God, and sincerely ask for forgiveness with a promise to change. Understand this. When someone repents, they bring themselves to the light of God and expose their sin to God. They no longer hide their sin in darkness. They bring it to the light, they acknowledge it, and they ask God to cover their sin with light. To repent is to come clean to God, and you can't clean in the dark. I want you to get how big this is in the one word. There are people, me being one of them in my Christian life, that let a little bit of darkness come in and a little bit more and didn't deal with that and didn't deal with that, was still somebody that came to God and accepted that great light, but then allowed a little darkness and allowed a little darkness and then didn't allow myself to be in the presence of God like I needed to. You look today and I see in the college students that are here, praise God if you were raised in a Christian home. You know what? If you're raised in a Christian home and they made you come to church, guess what? Those parents are making sure that you're exposed to the light, that you're exposed to the light, that you're exposed to the light. Why? Because the light's the only way that will expose yourself to where you can stay where you need to be with God, right? Or things will start getting hidden. But when you leave that family and you have that choice and you say, I'm away, and maybe I'm grown up or I'm a young adult, so I'll make this choice to myself. And then you believe the big lie, well, hey, you should never make your kids go to church because when they're old, they won't want to. That goes against what the Bible says, by the way, but that's another message. Listen, it says, the Bible says that we need to be in the light. So if you expose them to the light, they'll have a chance to say, okay, I'm away from home. So if I cut the light out, if they make a choice because it's not being made for them, they'll have a choice to make. Do I keep myself instant in worship? Do I find a place to worship? Do I stay in His Word? Do I find people I can worship with? You see, light comes through fellowship of God's people. Light comes through reading of His Word. Light comes through preaching of the message of His Word. Light comes through all those things because God is light. If God's in it, light comes through it. But if you remove yourself from it, guess what happens? You begin to gravitate back towards darkness. A little dirt gets in. A little dirt gets in. You know why you don't clean? You don't see the dirt. And nobody around you is seeing the dirt because nobody else is in the light. And then you pick a friend group that doesn't have anything to do with the light. And definitely, they're not going to remind you, hey, and shine light into your life. God tells us to go out and be the light. Listen, if you are a person who has the light of God, somebody around you should either be uncomfortable being around you or they should be able to feed off of your light to say, I need to straighten this out. That's why He tells us to go out and be a light. But you can't be a light if you're not feeding yourself by the light. That's why you see generations of young people fall away, even people that are raised in the church. It's the absence of light. What does this have to do with repent? You see, you can't come clean if you're in the dark. You'll stay in that same position. Well, let me just ask you this because there's some people in here that will need to know. Anybody in here know that there was a time in your life when you accepted the light of Jesus Christ and realized you came before Him and said, God, You see me, and I see myself as dirty, and God, I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Listen, I'm opening and exposing myself to You. Listen, forgive me of my sins. You know You came to the light of Jesus. Anybody in here know that, right? All right. But of those same people, has there been a time in your life when you began to allow a little bit more of things that you knew were wrong, the darkness, and got a little bit more away from the light? When it was bad, oh, you came to the light, but then when it began to sort of even out a little bit, well, you stopped coming and hearing the word this time, then you stopped coming that time, then you stopped reading this, then you stopped fellowshipping this, then you stopped doing this, and the less light, more dark, more dark. Guess what happened? Your world became dark. Even though you were a child of God, you were living in a world that was dark. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? How was your joy? How was your peace? Did you feel good? You can't. It's miserable. It's miserable because there's a battle going inside of you, and it's the biggest battle between the two polar opposites, light and darkness. You can't feel good because you're out of fellowship with God. I've been there. I know how miserable it is. The reason this word repent is so big is because, understand, Jesus preached this because without the acknowledgement of our own sin and confession of that sin that God's exposed to us, then there is no true repentance. If there's no true repentance, then people will never receive the salvation that God wants to give them. You see, the first thing that you have to do in order to have a relationship with God is come to the light. And you're not going to come to the light if you don't want what's in you to be revealed, or you don't want to see the dirt that's in there. If you're okay with it, you won't come. And that's why people don't get saved. Remember, He said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there's some people that refuse to come to the light. And Jesus said in His teaching that this is the reason that people are condemned by God and end up spending their eternity in hell, which is called outer darkness. You say, preacher, I can't believe you're going to say hell and you're going to talk about people being condemned to hell. Listen, you have to understand condemnation. God doesn't condemn any of us. We condemn ourselves. But Jesus makes this clear. I know we look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to show you some things in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we look at this, and we almost all of us can quote, "For God so loved the world," quote it with me, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Have everlasting life." And we hear about God's love, and we recognize God's love. But if you turn to John 3, He tells us in that first verse there in 16, God loves us. He sent us Jesus to us so that we could be saved and have eternal life. The very next verse, verse 17, He said, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Jesus was not sent to us as the light of the world to condemn us. He was sent us to show us, hey, we're dirty. We've got to be clean. We're in darkness. He came to light us. It wasn't a bad thing. But do you know that people hate Him? People hate the light because they don't want to be told they're dirty. Those people. Well, listen, Christian. There are times we hate the light. There will be a time that we're so conscious of it at the end of this service, there will be people that need to come and talk to God. And they're afraid that even them coming will expose them as somebody that may have done something wrong. And they will stay there. The devil will convince them, keep this in the dark. Don't let anybody think that something's wrong. He'll be working in here today. He does that. Works in our mind. He wants us to keep it all in the dark. Just deal with it in a certain way. Deal with it in the way you want to deal with it. Powerful place in Scripture I want you to see. You see, in verse 17, He said that, but in verse 18, you got to see, this is huge. John 3, verse 18, He said, "He that believeth not is condemned already. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." You mean we start out condemned? Hold on. We're going to go back to the beginning. Guess what? We start out in darkness. What was first, light or darkness? Do you realize that God has to speak light into darkness? Hey, that should make you, that should do something to you. You see, for the creation of the world, God had to speak light into darkness. For the creation of a child of God, God has to speak light into darkness. That's big, guys. We start off dark. We're born with a sin nature. We're products of sin. Nobody has to teach us to sin. We have a sin nature in us, so we're condemned already by our darkness. If you believe on him, you're not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You say, well, hey, that means God is condemning us. No, he's saying we start off condemned. If we never bring the light in, we stay in the dark, we'll finish in the dark. But he explains all this in verse 19, and this is beautiful. Listen to his explanation. This is the condemnation. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is as simple as it will ever get right here. When we stand in front of Jesus one day, if there's someone that didn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will hear these words. John chapter 3, verse 19. We hear John 3:16 down here. You'll hear John 3:19 up here. What do you mean? He's introducing, hey, listen, here's how people are condemning themselves. Listen, this is the condemnation. Here's what happened. Light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You know what he's saying? You had a choice. You had an opportunity. You had a chance to come to the light, but you loved doing what you were doing so much that you didn't want to change. You thought it was hidden, but it wasn't hidden to me. I saw your darkness. I saw your dirt. I revealed it to you on that certain Sunday. I revealed it to you when you thought about that certain thing. I revealed it to you, but you didn't do anything about it. You refused to come to the light. Won't that be horrible for someone to hear as they're cast into outer darkness? You say, well, I'm glad I'm saved. Well, listen, before you get too confident, Christian, we hide a lot of things. There's things we think nobody knows. There's things of darkness. And this little journey of our Christian life, you might be here in many different spots. You might be a person that's here that is not feeding yourself any light. If you are, you're understanding exactly what I'm saying right now, because God's speaking light to you. You can't be happy. The only way that you can be happy is to do what Jesus preached about, which is repent. What does repent mean? Come to the light and say, God, I'm exposing myself to you. Look at it all. Behind this suit, behind this shirt, behind this tie, behind this body, God, you see me. You see everything about me. You always have. I'm just coming, acknowledging it. All God wants you to do is come and be exposed and be okay with it. Quit pretending and hiding. Remember, these things you're hiding in the dark. All he's got to do is pop on the light. And that is our condemnation. You know why we don't come to the light? And you know why there'll be people here today that don't come to the light? Because they would rather stay in the dark. The dark doesn't require you to change or clean. I want to close. I can't close without reading these couple other verses here in John 3. Verse 20 and verse 21. It says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But we've never seen this more today as Christianity is under attack. Anybody that stands for what God said is right, remember, what God said is right is righteousness. If you stand for it today, it will be politically incorrect. It will be downgraded. It will be looked at and ostracized. Listen, I had a parent of a first-year college student talk to me this week and tell me his introduction to religion class, and the first thing that the professor wanted to do was to change the deity of God, who he was, the realism of God, the gender of God, and open all kind of things things of confusion because he thought he was at a level of intelligence. And then to be able to convince that their parent, which had been showing them the light, and their preacher, who was continually trying to preach the light that was out of the word, were not as smart as he was going to be, and that he would need to step over that boundary if he was going to be superiorly intellectual, intellectually superior. You know what the first mission is? Is to present light as darkness and darkness as light. That's what the devil loves to do. He wants to confuse. To say good is evil and evil is good. He wants to blind the minds. But he blinds Christians' minds too. You see, the Bible tells us here in this verse 20, it says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Listen, people hate the fact that God is who he says he is. Man wants to worship himself, and I can't believe that God holds me to this standard. Well, if God is love, you ever hear those people speaking it? If God is love, then why would he say that? It's almost like they're standing in front of God. Hey, God, I got one for you. God's given them the breath and the intellect and the ability to make a tangible sentence. He's given them all those things, the cognitive ability to even speak, and they're speaking and blaspheming him. They hate it. They hate the light. Verse 21 says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Listen, I'm going to tell you what a joy it is to be in a church to where I see hungry people keep coming back to be fed the Word of God. And people that aren't afraid to leave and say, listen, that was all over my toes, but I'm going to be back to hear more of it. Feed me more. Feed me more. You know what? That person is looking to come to the light, and they want that light to expose something to them. They're not afraid to go and hear the preaching of the Word of God. They're not afraid to open their Bible. Why? God, purify me. Refine me. Lord, show me what is in me. Why? Because I don't want to have the hidden things. When you see somebody like that, you'll see somebody that's beginning to feel the peace of God and the joy of God. Listen, your joy will be full, right? Now, I promise I'm closing. I want to talk in closing to Christians, those people who step out of that darkness at some point in time in their life and they accept Jesus as their Savior. They've been saved from condemnation of outer darkness, but it doesn't stop there. Once we come to the light, realize he commands us to walk in the light. You can't just come to the light and say, I got my salvation, I'm good to go. No, he wants you to walk in the light. That means when he says walk, walk is a term used to signify the way we conduct ourselves in our everyday lives. As Christians, if we have come to the light and we choose to walk in the darkness of sin by accepting darkness as part of our lives and participating in it, then the darkness destroys our fellowship with God. Darkness destroys our fellowship with God. You see, we need to remember God's light, and Jesus is God's light, and that he is sent to us, and light and darkness is the first thing that God spoke, separates. The light and darkness are opposite. They're enemies. They work against each other. You can't be okay with keeping bringing little bits of darkness into your life and think that you're going to remain light. You're not going to remain in fellowship with God. God can see it. He can't fellowship with darkness. Ephesians 5 is where I'll close, and I'll try to be brief. We're told in Ephesians 5, and I'm going to summarize some of these verses, but I want you to read it for yourself. Ephesians 5, we're told that if we're children of God, if we're children of the light, that we're not supposed to entertain the things of darkness. Can I tell you something? It does matter what you look at. It does matter what you listen to. It does matter who you speak with. It does matter what you feed in. It does matter. We're not supposed to entertain these things as children of the light. Listen, don't take my word for it. We're told in Ephesians 5:1 that we need to walk as children as the light. He begins by saying, first of all, imitate God. Be therefore followers of God. Imitate God. God is light. Do the acts of light, not darkness. In verse 2, he says, conduct yourself like Jesus conducted himself, willing to sacrifice the things of this world that are sinful so that you can be pleasing to God. But in verses 3 through 7, he tells us distinctly, and I want you to hear this, there is a clear line between right and wrong. He says in verses 3 through 7, don't partake in the sins that the world accepts that are dark. These sins represent darkness which is against God. I'm going to read these verses to you. Ephesians 5, verse 3 through 7, he says, but fornication, uncleanliness, covetous, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. That's speaking of sexual immorality. Listen, it's become accepted. He said, flee from it. He's talking to Christians here. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now listen to verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't do it. Verse 8's big. He reminds us, you were sometimes darkness. Meaning once you were in darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Here's the command. Now that you are, walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Boy, that sounds like light, doesn't it? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now listen to verse 11, and if you want to make anything your theme verse, I think every college student, every high school student, every young person, every old person, everybody that's going into an environment where you can be tempted, I think it needs to be the verse on top of your TV that gauges what you watch. I think it needs the verse to be pasted on top of your computer, your laptop. It needs to be the verse on your phone. Listen to this. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But reprove them. Guess what? What's happening to us is that we start cuddling up and having fellowship with things that we know God doesn't want. And then once those things add up, our flesh wants them. We don't want to leave them. We keep them hidden. Does this apply to anybody? When they get to that point, sometimes we don't even want to come and hear the light, because the light will expose us. We don't want to have to think that we have to do something. He says, it's big, verse 11. But verse 13 says, all things that are reproved, exposed, are made manifest by the light, for whosoever doth make manifest is light. So what is he telling us to do? You see, I think Paul said it best in 1 Thessalonians, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Get away from it. But mainly, as Jesus spoke Matthew 6, he says, verse 33, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. Let me tell you where I got to one time, and maybe you can relate to this. If your eye is evil, then your whole body can be full of darkness. What you allow to come into you, what you allow to see, what you're allowing to come in, if your eye is not good, then your whole body will be full of darkness. That means what you're taking in will keep feeling dark, keep feeling dark. He doesn't stop there. He said, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Can I tell you something? I ran from the Lord one time for years. And I took in darkness and darkness. I was a child of light. But I chose to stay away from that light and enjoy the things that I thought I would enjoy, and I took in darkness and darkness. Do you realize that I got to a point to where, as I took in those things of darkness, how great was that darkness in me? There was no peace. There was no happiness. I tell you, there was a time right before I cried out to God. I remember those days, the week where I woke up, and actually when I opened my eyes in the morning, it stung to be alive. Stung. There was a physical sting. God, not another day. I'm miserable. What was it? Well, I was a child of light that was full of darkness. I didn't have any fellowship with God. So what happened? Well, the end of 1 John chapter 1, he said the only way to get clean is to come to the light and be exposed. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And listen, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The light cleanses. You have to come to it. You have to stay there. You have to walk in it. Somebody here is not where they need to be with the light. I've been that person before. I know how miserable it is. If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never come to the light. Listen, He wants to light your life. It's His mission. He came into the world knowing that you had sinned and I had sinned. But listen, until you come to Him and say, God, I'm a sinner. I expose that I'm a sinner to you. I understand you sinned, but you died for my sins as a sacrifice. And I know the only way to get to God is to come through you, Jesus. You are the light. Please shine into me. I will serve you. I will let your light illuminate me, save me. If you do that today, you become a child of light. Don't be ashamed, because if you hide it and walk away from here, it'll stay hidden. He's opened the box and shined light into you today. Don't leave here. And if you're a Christian, how easy is it for our eye to begin to let a little bit in until darkness is in us? Don't be ashamed today. Don't think somebody's going to say something about me, because if the devil convinces you to hide it in here, there'll be something else that gets on your mind before you get in your car and before you get home. The devil wants to blind your mind. He'll blind it with all kinds of things. If God shined light to you today that says, hey, you need to come to me and make right and come clean with me, come clean with me. You can't come clean when you're in the dark. You can't clean in the dark. God is light. And He shines His light on your life today so that you can get yourself right with Him, Christian. And if you're right with Him, then you're the person that's out there that should be saying amen, amen. And I know there hadn't been a lot of that in here. So if you're that person, you're the one that really one that needs to be praying, because you're enjoying that fullness of God. Listen, come to the light during this invitation. Everybody's got a reason. Stand with me. Father God, I pray if there's that person that's listening today, if that person, God, that's out there today that, Lord, is realizing, God, it's hard for us to even say, yes, Lord, amen, Lord. Why? Because, Lord, we're all guilty of this. We've got those little areas of darkness in our life, and I pray, God, that everyone leaves here exposed today, that we know, God, that there's nobody here that's righteous in their own self. God, change lives in this invitation today. If there's someone here that's lost, Lord, let them see their condition. Lord, please let them come and have a boldness to accept your Son Jesus as their Savior and come to that light. Lord, for Christians all over this room, let them come clean today. Lord, you've shined the light. We can't clean in the dark. I just pray, God, that today no one leaves here with areas of darkness in their life. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.